There is probably not a more beloved verse and a more difficult verse than Jesus saying, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And when we talk about treasure and when we talk about what Jesus is doing in talking about money in the Sermon on the Mount, there are all sorts of things that go on in our mind. And when you talk about stewardship sermons, I don't know about you, but for me, stewardship sermons are one of those things that most of the associations that I have in my mind are mostly negative things. It's something that you have to do. You have to talk about. You have to talk about money and stewardship. It's like eating your green vegetables. It's something that's good for you, but nobody really likes it. And there are all these expectations around stewardship. However, Anthony Robinson, a UCC pastor and author, wrote a book called Leadership for Vital Congregations. And he talks about two images for ministry, and I think they're good images for stewardship as well. He contrasts the Bible image of God as a God of freedom. God in chapter 43 of the book of Isaiah says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Can you see it?" And that God in the Old Testament and in the New is a God about freedom and wanting to free us from negativity and from sin and from death and from all those chains that hold us back from living the kind of life that God wants us to live. And he says that, Anthony Robinson says that learning to live based on God's way of living is a freeing way. If we could truly understand everything that goes on between the covers of this Bible, we would understand that God wants us to be free. He contrasts that with the Roman and Greek gods that the early Christians would have been familiar with. And he contrasts that with the god Atlas. You remember Atlas? Atlas is the one who is holding up the world in Greek and Roman mythology. He was punished because he backed the wrong side in a war between the gods. And he backed the losing side. And as his punishment, he was forced to hold the world upon his shoulders, and he was to keep the heavens and the earth separate. That's what he's doing under there. And he's usually crushed under the weight of the world. It's where we get the expression, "You look like you are carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders." And Anthony Robinson says, too often we think that's what we have to do. We have to carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. And nowhere is this more obvious than in terms of stewardship, that we have to guilt and shame ourselves. We have to appeal to the worst in people when we talk about stewardship. But I think I'm going to show you this morning that there are a bunch of things that stewardship really is not, and then show you that there are a bunch of freeing things that stewardship really is. And the first thing that people hear when they hear the word stewardship is they think that someone is going to harangue you for money, that it's going to be a legal or a shaming type of thing. If you're even somewhat familiar with stewardship, you know the word tithing. Tithing comes from the Old Testament. It is a law in the Old Testament about giving 10% of what you make to God. It's from Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. "A tithe of everything," or 10%, "from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." So that's where we get this idea of tithing from. It was something that was required in the Old Testament. But it's important for us to remember that it is a goal to work toward. It is not a law which, if you don't make 10% of your goal, then therefore somehow you've missed the checklist. You've marked things off wrongly. Instead, tithing is a goal to be joyfully considered. Can I make a tithe this week? Next month, next year? How can I move in that direction? Because that is the direction to which God has set me on. So a tithe is not the starting point. It is rather the goal to which we are trying to reach, each of us individually trying to reach. The way in which we've talked about tithing has oftentimes not been joyful as Christians. Very often, stewardship is something that is discussed in October when we're putting our budgets together. And I am familiar with a church who October was stewardship month, and in October, that's when tithing was talked about. And the one person who was in charge of the budget would stand up and say, "Unless you people start giving more money, this is the year." And he would pound on the back of the pew. "This is the year when the church will close. So you better think about giving more money this year." And that was 30 years ago. And I've had time to think about this and process this. And I don't think this is probably the best way to get people to be joyful in giving about the budget, in giving to the budget. And I don't want to preach that way, and you don't want to hear a sermon that's proposed in that way. And this church that I'm talking about, 30 years later, it's still there. It didn't close. Even though every year it was predicted that was going to be the year that it was going to have to close its doors, it's still there. So that's not the way to do it. We're not supposed to talk about tithing as a shameful thing or a you have to reach up for it now or else. Another way people look at stewardship is they say to the preacher or to the church, "Well, you have to do it. You have to talk about money because you benefit from it. After all, it's the bottom line. You have to talk about giving to the church because that's the only way we keep the lights on and we keep the heat and all that kind of stuff." Well, I'm here to tell you that no, that's not exactly the way it is, because you heard that the tithing goes to God. The 10% goes to God, not to His church only, but part of your 10% can be to the food bank. And if you give to the food bank, that's great. It can be to a homeless shelter. That's fantastic. That's why we have benevolences. If you take out your bulletin and you look at page 5 on the bottom, you'll see I have scanned in a copy of an envelope. This is a regular old offering envelope. And you'll see that at the bottom there are, underneath the address of the church, there are two categories: current expenses and benevolence. Benevolence are all the things that go outside of this church, offerings that we give to other places. It goes through Hills Church, but it does not stay at Hills Church. The current expense, that is the stuff that stays here. The whole equation of what you give to God, whether it's through Hills Church or through the benevolences or through other giving that you do, is meant to be God's tithe. So it doesn't just benefit this physical address. It's meant to benefit where you think your money should go, where you think money should go back to God. Another reason people don't like to talk about tithing or stewardship is the fear that too many people will know what I give, that it's really nobody's business but between me and God. Well, that's why on page 5 you'll notice that there is a place for a name if you wish to put it on there, but you certainly don't have to. There's an offering number, and that number is to provide a little bit of anonymity. This one here, 125, that's my number, so don't use that one. Otherwise, you won't get credit. That's my number. But the reason we do this, we have as few people at Hills Church who know what people give. And there's a reason for that. We have to track it for the IRS. If you want to deduct it from your taxes, we need to know, and we need to provide you with the proper documentation, because that's part of our financial responsibility. But at Hills Church, the pastor does not know what people give. And the fewest amount of people know who gives what. The bare minimum in order to keep up our financial responsibilities to you and to the IRS. Now, you have every right to know this and to know what the congregation does with your private info. That's a big thing right now. And I can assure you that we try and keep it as private as possible, that we don't share these things around. Another reason people are nervous about tithing or talking about it is I think there's a basic misunderstanding about what happens when we hit hard times. If I'm out of a job, if I'm barely making ends meet, if there's very little left over at the end of the month, how can I give any more to God? Well, the 10% is a percentage. So that means as your income goes up, the 10% goes up. As your income goes down, God's expectation that you'll be able to continue the same amount also goes down. It is tagged to percentage. It's a tenth of what you make. It's not a tenth of what you made last year or what you will make in 5 years. It's a tenth of what you can do now. Another thing that stewardship is not, and this is perhaps my favorite, it's not whatever's left over, because this is a real temptation for me. The reason we talk about a tithe, and the reason we brought this up in the stewardship committee, is because it occurred to us that we all need to be reminded what the Bible actually says about tithing and giving. If you turn on the television on Sunday morning, which you're all not doing because you're here, but if you turn on the television, you'll find all sorts of preaching about money and giving about money. You can find a lot of television stations late at night, television preachers who are talking about money. But the stewardship committee was reminded that the most important thing about the tithe is that God wants to be first, that you're giving the first of what you have to God. You take the 10% or whatever it is that you give out of the first fruits of what you make, not what's left over after the bills are paid or the car is full of gas. And the reason for this is because if you're like me and you wait until the end and you try and squeeze everything out of the month, I find ways to fill up with extra money. I love milkshakes. If I've got some money left over that I'm holding back to give to the church, well, if I pass Dairy Queen, there's a good chance I'm going to stop in, right? And the other thing I absolutely have an addiction to is music CDs. Jennifer knows this. I have too many music CDs. So if I am someplace and I've got a little bit of extra money in my pocket and it is set aside for giving to the church or giving to God's causes, and it is burning a hole in my pocket and I know that I can get a used CD at one of those CD exchange places, I'm probably going to stop in. And the best day of all is when I get a milkshake and a CD together, and that's fantastic. But it means that I've shorted God a little bit. If you wait till the end, that's a problem because you give God what's left over. And God should never be treated as what's left over in your life. It's a violation of the spirit of the tithe and of the spirit of the first command. You shall have no other gods before me. So there are a lot of negatives. There are a lot of things that tithes are not. What's the positive then? Well, I titled this sermon this morning, Treasure, because really, we own nothing. The whole point of Mother's Day and the whole point of God is we own nothing, that God gives us everything as treasure. And God gave your mother and your father you. You were a treasure to them and continue to be so. But your parents don't own you. God does. Your parents are just the ones who were to steward you and to take care of you and to provide for you until you got out of the house and then you could stand on your own 2 feet. And that's the same thing that God does with money. He gives us a treasure and it's not ours. It's meant to be used for Him. It's the same with creation. Stewardship is about everything that we have. It's a treasure from God. And we're not to be burdened down because it's ours like some Atlas figure, and it's ours and we've got to figure out what to do with all these bills and expenses and debt and mortgage. Instead, we're to be set free and to set free by God. And I hope that that's an image you want to stay with. What can your money do to make this world, to make your life more giving, more holy, more in obedience to the commands of Jesus? Every dollar that passes through my hand and your hand, we're called to steward on behalf of God. Every quarter, every nickel, we're called to be God's caretakers. We're not just supposed to have our hands out. We're not supposed to just look at our receipts, but instead we're supposed to appreciate the treasure, the trust that God has given to us. God has trusted us with his treasure of money, and we're supposed to manage it for him. So today, of all days, it's most appropriate to give thanks for what God has treasured you with, has given you for treasure. Maybe for some of you, your greatest treasure are your childhood memories. Maybe you had a fantastic childhood, and you want to give thanks to God for that. Maybe today, you want to especially give thanks to your mother for the woman that she was and how she raised you and the things that she did for you. Maybe today you want to give thanks for children, the children that you have raised, or other people's children that you saw grow up. Maybe today is a time to thank God for the church and the fellowship. But the whole point of stewardship and the whole point of Mother's Day is to be overflowing with thankfulness for the treasures. And Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And we are called to be joyful because God has gifted us with so many wonderful treasures. Praise be to God. Amen.